That is true and that is possible. So often we just have this defeatist attitude about Christianity that, you know what, I struggle, I fall, and oh well, I guess that's what's there for me. The Holy Spirit, Christ in you, empowers you to live a life above known acts of sin for an extended period of time. In other words, you can live a holy life. So Jesus in me is evident how? Well, according to this passage of Scripture, this passage in Colossians 24 through 29, we see first, Paul tells us that Jesus in me is evident how? You've got to suffer. I really believe this is true. You have to suffer and be quite happy in the process. Like Paul, rejoice in suffering. You have to suffer. One of my all-time favorite books is entitled Stories of the Old-Time Duck Hunters Association and Other Drivel. Gordon, what is his last name? I can't get it off the top of my head. In there, the president, his honor, an elderly, roughshod character, set about a hunting trip for deer in the state of Wisconsin. His son-in-law, who highly honors the old man, in fact, the old man prefers to be called the old man, he highly honors him and calls him the president of the association. What's so funny about it is it's only this son-in-law and his father-in-law and the association. His son-in-law, concerned for the old man, gets him set up in one of those nice wooden shanties. Now, you probably don't know anything about hunting and back in the Midwest, but we have these shanties and they're warm and cozy and sometimes they're insulated and they have sliding windows for when the snow comes. This is Wisconsin. And they also have a heater in them, many different kinds of heaters. And so he sets the old man up in one of these because he doesn't want him to get cold. And so he gets him double dressed because it's just blistering cold out there. And he's out there in the shanty, and the hunting drive begins where they push the brush to see if any deer come through. And the hunters see a big buck pass by the old man's blind. And they wait for the shot because the old man is certainly going to shoot this massive buck, and the shot never comes. And they're wondering if the old man is okay. When they walk up to see what had happened, they find the old man fast asleep in his warm, cozy setting. Grumbling and complaining, the old man, that's what he prefers to call himself, leaves all upset because he said, I told you this wouldn't work. I fell asleep. I got too comfortable. And so he leaves for the next day's hunt. The next morning, he comes to the woods with tennis shoes on, a light jacket, no gloves, and a thin hat. This is Wisconsin. Not too long waiting, and they hear a shot. They go over to where the old man had been sitting, leaned against a tree out in the weather. He stands up blue-lipped and shivering and says, now you can clean it. I'm going to the house to get warm. I told you the only way to get a deer is to suffer. Well, that doesn't really relate, but it's a cool story to tell, and I like it because it's a hunting story. We're not talking about hunting here, but I think you get the point. Paul writes in verse 24, now I rejoice in what was suffered for you, and I fill up in my flesh what is still lacking in regards to Christ's affliction, in my own flesh, for the sake of his body, which is the church. Just so we're clear, this is not suffering for the sake of suffering or even deer hunting. This is not some kind of monastic whipping with green briars all over your back to punish yourself because you saw a beautiful woman and lusted after her. This is no crawling on broken glass and nails on the Via Della Rosa to identify with Christ's suffering. This is suffering for the cause or sake of the work of Jesus in the world. This first part of this verse speaks to the suffering Jesus did willingly as he voluntarily laid down his life. It's called his own volition. He was ridiculed. He was tortured. He was beaten. And he was nailed to hang his body weight on a cross. Paul rejoices in all of this suffering because he realizes what it did. It paid the penalty for your sin. It was done for you. Because without that, there would be no redemption, no reconciliation for you to God. But Paul also continues by saying that he himself has suffered for those who are the church, who are the body of Christ. Having Christ in you really does mean you have to somewhere along the line suffer for the cause of Christ. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5, verse 10 and following, "Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you, when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled by men. You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it out on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house, and that causes suffering. In the same way, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven." And then in Luke chapter 21, Jesus warns those who follow him. But before all of this, the end of time, before the coming of the age, they asked him, he's answering the question, he says, before all of this, they will lay hands on you and they will persecute you if you have Jesus in you. They will deliver you to synagogues and prisons, and you will be brought before kings and governors, and all on account of my name. This will insult in your being witnesses. This will result in your being witnesses to them. But make up your mind not to worry beforehand how to you will defend yourselves. For I will give you words and wisdom that none of your adversaries will be able to resist or contradict. You will be betrayed, even by parents, brothers, relatives, and friends, and they will put some of you even to death. All men will hate you because of me. But not a hair on your head will perish. By standing firm, you will gain life. How do we compare to that? Here, us in America, prosperous American Christians, the concept of suffering for the cause of Christ is about as far removed as can be imagined. But yet, I really think it's coming this way. Have you ever lost a job because you're a Christian? Have you ever volunteered to do something for the sake of the body that caused you pain, or time, or relationship? You have no concept the amount of time and effort Audra has put into this vacation Bible school. I was trying to think of it, and I can't remember. Some of you that have been around here a long time may know better. What? That's the first vacation Bible school we've done in over 10 years. And the effort, the pain, the suffering for the cause of Christ, that's amazing. We need to pray for her and for those that are helping her. Jesus said in Luke 6, "But I tell you, hear me, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who mistreat you." Because understand this, if you have Christ in you, you will be mistreated. You will have people hate you. If someone strikes you on the cheek, turn to him the other also. If someone takes your cloak, do not stop him for taking your tunic. Give to everyone who asks you, and if anyone takes what belongs to you, do not demand it back. Sorry, Nick, I just asked Nick for my Sandra back. If you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who are good to you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners do that. And if you lend to those from whom you expect repayment, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners, expecting to be repaid in full. But love your enemies. Do good to them, and lend to them without expecting to get anything back. Excuse me. Then your reward will be great, and you will be sons of the Most High, because he is kind to the ungrateful and wicked. Christ in you means you have to suffer. Maybe you've never suffered for the cause of Christ, maybe you need to consider placing yourself in a position where you may have to suffer just a little for the sake of the body of Christ. Christ in you means you have to suffer. Christ in you also means presenting the word of God in its fullness. Paul writes in verse 25, I have become a servant by the commission God gave me to present to you the word of God in its fullness. The mystery that has been kept hidden from the ages and generations, but is now disclosed to the saints. He specifically writes, in its fullness, because he is arguing against the law of the Old Testament as the way to God. In fact, Paul writes very explicitly in Romans that this way failed, but we don't condemn it because Christ is the fulfillment of the law. And he showed that the Old Testament way did not work. He's arguing the truth of his case for Christ as the only way to God, and we need to remember that. I just went hiking with my Mormon dentist the other day. And I'm mindful. He uses the same language I use, but I'm mindful that it means different things to him. And it's so easy to just get caught up in this friendship and forget that I have a task. And my task is the same as every one of yours, and that's to communicate the gospel of Jesus Christ in its fullness to those who are around. He does not reject the Old Testament teachings of the Pharisees. He simply reinforces that Jesus is the fulfillment of that. If Christ is in you, you do like Paul and present the Word of God to others, its teachings and its truths, including the fullness of Jesus as the fulfillment of all Scripture. Excuse me. Where do you teach it? Everywhere you are at any given present moment, you don't put it on hold, you don't store it away. It is you because Christ is in you. It is you in your actions and in your words because the Spirit of Jesus indwells this earthen vessel that you call your body. The concept comes clearly from Paul's teachings such as 1 Corinthians 6:19 and 20. Do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit? You are not your own. You are bought with a price. Therefore, honor God with your body. So how are you teaching others? Paul goes on in our Colossians passage in chapter 1, verse 28. We proclaim him, admonishing and teaching everyone with all wisdom, so that we may present everyone perfect in Christ. This last week I got called to do a funeral. I was 63 years old, had back surgery. They gave him pain meds for his back surgery. They said, like James Morris has told us, there's no reason to ever be in pain, ever. So the guy listened to him and took a couple pills, and it affected him more strongly than he thought it should. And so he remembered, oh, I should probably take a couple pills because my back hurts. So he took a couple more pills, and then he sat there with a better buzz going and said, oh, I forgot to take some pills. So he took a couple more pills, and then he forgot that he'd taken more pills, so he took a couple more pills. Happy, loved life, loved his family, and he died. Overdose of prescription drugs. No intention to kill himself, but he did. So I got to meet the family, which is always my pleasure in doing a funeral. And his son, John, only son he has, had to speak at the funeral, and I coached him through that process. And John, an amazing guy, lives up in Seattle area, works for Microsoft, amazing guy. And I finally said, well, John, tell me about your life a little bit. Can I ask, are you a Christian? He said, yes, I am. And his wife said, well, Jamie's wife said, well, he's really not telling you the whole story. He works at Microsoft, but he's reading the Bible, and he starts getting where he's thinking, well, maybe there's other guys at work that would like to hear about this. So he asks a few of his buddies, hey, you want to come over to my house and just read the Bible together? We could just take a section of a book and talk about it. And they're like, yeah, I'd be interested in that. Well, now understand this. I don't care what your background is. You will be respected. Your background will be respected. But we're here to study the Bible, and we're here to read God's Word. So he gets this Muslim guy who comes in, and yeah, I'm interested in hearing what the Bible has to say. And he gets a Jehovah Witness guy, and he gets his neighbor guy, and pretty soon he's got 8 to 10 guys every week meeting in his family. Now, this is no pastor. This is just a guy who just is a normal old everyday guy. And he gets these guys together reading the Bible, and his wife said, what you're not hearing is this has been going on for 4.5 years. And John has these people come in. He says, we just read the Bible. I said, we're going to conclude with the truth of God's word because it's God's word. And God is God. And so whatever else you're thinking might be out there, it's God's word, and we're going to read this together. I'm thinking, wow, there's a guy that's teaching the truth. He's proclaiming Christ. Wow. I said, so John, are you going to start coming to my church? I'm really interested in this. Presenting the word in its fullness is proclaiming Christ. Christ in you is evident in your passion to share Jesus with everyone. It's no longer effective in our world to be silent, hoping someone will know who you are simply by seeing you. My life is a witness. You have to begin speaking for Jesus, Christ in you. You have to suffer. You have to present the word in its fullness, and you have to labor and struggle for perfection. To this end, verse 29, I labor, struggling with all his energy, which so powerfully works in me. To this end, he says. To what end? You have to move to the previous verse. So that we, Paul speaking in the plural, may present everyone perfect in Christ. It's the concept of Christian perfection. Now I know, it's real easy. It's one of the easiest easily confused biblical concepts that can take hours to explain, yet it's very simple to complain. We hear people often excuse inappropriate behavior today with what? Hey, I'm not perfect. No one's perfect. Are you apologizing? Or just using your lack of self-control as an excuse for bad behavior? We live in a day when confession, I was thinking about this the other day. I think it has to do with all the counseling we do. We live in a day where confession has become very easy and change has become very unessential. Well, that's what I'm struggling with. That's who I am. Just admit your problem and then carry on in your old life with that old coat on and your problem. However, Jesus promises transformation. 2 Corinthians 5:17. If anyone is in Christ, they're a new creation. The old is gone. The new has come. Christian perfection is the concept that says, as I currently stand before the Lord God, there is nothing that is revealed to me in the light of His holiness that I have not surrendered to Him. Not I'm working on it, but rather I've given it to Him, and He is now Lord of that thing that used to consume me. Christian perfection is not without a sin nature. We don't uproot the sin nature and we no longer have the potential to sin. It's a standing without known unconfessed sin before the Lord. It is the nothing between me and my Savior. And as things are revealed, you diligently deal with them to proclaim, to claim victory over that thing that had previously consumed your life. That's Christian perfection. As I stand before the Lord, there's nothing unconfessed. There's nothing that I don't propose to clean up, that I don't propose to not continue in that way. So that you can say with Christ in you, I am now perfected. I am being perfected, and one day at glorification, I will be absolutely perfected. It's a position. And the good news? Look at the verse. It's not in your own strength. Labor and struggle with all His energy, Jesus' energy, God's energy. The God, and God is omnipotent. That means all-powerful. So what is it you labor after? What is it you struggle for? perfection from a biblical perspective? Or do you struggle for more money? If your whole goal in life is to make more money, you'll die hopelessly unsatisfied, because that's the problem with the pursuit of wealth. It never satisfies. The public radio station was doing its annual fund drive just here a little bit back, and I was chasing channels and I listened to it. They had a guy come on as a guest speaker, and he was a creationist. Now, that doesn't mean he believes in God, it just means he's a creationist. But I loved his concept. He was talking about our reason for existence. He said, we are not created to pursue wealth. And then he just kind of let that lay there. Then he said, we were created to live. Our creator, and in fact, he ended up later in his talk talking about Gaia, Mother Earth, but he says, our creator created us to live the fullness of life while tending this giant ball called the earth, so that we're leaving something better for generations that follow. And I thought of the biblical truth, because all truth is God's truth. I thought of the biblical truth that said, that tells us, where Jesus says, I came that you might have life, and that you might live life, and live it to the fullest or abundantly. And I thought, that's so powerful and that's so cool. And the guy's speaking God's truth and he didn't even know it. Have you ever paused for a moment from your life of paying bills and making payments and shopping for more to reflect on why you're here? What is it you're laboring and struggling for? Christ in you declares your reason for existence. Do you know Jesus? Paul writes in Philippians 3:10, I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of sharing in his sufferings. You've got to suffer. Becoming like him in his death. So, I guess the question I want to leave you with is your life sacrificial? Are you struggling to be for the cause of Jesus? Are you presenting the word in its fullness to others? Are you laboring and struggling in his strength for perfection? In other words, have you given your life over to Jesus fully? Christ in you. It carries much more power than you'll ever realize. Father, thank you that we can look at this concept of Christ in